boy came to the temple in Jerusalem one day. He came to see the scholars and hear what they would say. These holy men were teachers, but he taught them instead. They looked at each other, and this is what they said.
What's your name, son?
On my mother's side, my name is Jesus. On my father's side, I'm Emmanuel.
How old are you?
On my mother's side, I am 12 years old. On my father's side, I have always been.
Where are you from?
On my mother's side, I'm from Bethlehem. And on my father's side, from New Jerusalem.
What's your plan?
On my mother's side, I'll be crucified. On my father's side, in 3 days I will rise and sit at my father's side. He spoke and they all listened, amazed at what they heard. Who taught this boy from Bethlehem to understand God's word? Could he be the Savior who would suffer so much pain? They knew he was special, so they asked again.
What's your name, son?
On my mother's side, my name is Jesus. On my father's side, I'm Emmanuel.
How old are you?
On my mother's side, I am 12 years old. On my father's side, I have always been.
Where are you from?
On my mother's side, I'm from Bethlehem. And on my father's side, from New Jerusalem.
What's your plan?
On my mother's side, I'll be crucified. And on my father's side, in 3 days I will rise. In 3 days I will rise and sit at my father's side.
You were just listening to the Larry Mercy Trio with On My Father's Side. On this track and the album, It's Not Over Yet, George Lounsbery is taking care of the acoustic lead guitar and backup vocals. As well as Larry Mercy, rounding out the trio is Al Alderson on bass and backup vocals. Good morning, it's Steve Todd, and I want to thank you for tuning in to Musicians FAQ on 102.7 CKMS. Today's program and an upcoming episode are featuring guitarist George Lounsbery. George has played with several bands over the years, such as Murphy's Law, Larry Mercy, the Barn Dance backup band known as the Millennium Cowboys, and part of the backup band with Sue and Paul Weber for the Commercial Tavern's Thursday night open stage in Maryhill. Let's check in with George to learn more about his musical career. Well, thanks a lot for being on the show, George. I really appreciate you driving up to my place.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah, and I've wanted to have you for quite a while. You fit the bill. Like, you've played with a lot of the people that... Mm-hmm. have been on before, Diane Dittner and Grant Haywood, Doug Dietrich.
Oh, yeah.
And there's many more than that, so.
There was a big circle, and we were all intertwined one way or another.
Oh, yeah. Well, why don't you go way back in time to when you were a child and talk about how you first started playing music?
Well, that was many years ago, but I ended up that my father had purchased a 125 Gibson from his cousin. And they used to get together across the road at my uncle's, and they would have jams all the time. My whole family's musical, but
yep.
It ended up that I heard that Dad had bought this guitar, and I couldn't wait. So everybody's gone to work, and of course, Nobody locks any doors. Dad never brought it home. He just left it there. So I went over and got it. And here, Dad, when he looked, he came in the door after work and he looked at it. And here I am sitting there, one finger up and down okay. the neck. But that was probably around when I was 7 or 8.
Okay.
But by the time I was, say, 11 or 12, that is the time that Huck started showing me a few chords, pulling out the, you know, the thumb pick and telling me, you know, how to do a little bit of the background and stuff.
Yeah.
And he showed me the structure, how it came together, but he didn't show me everything there was to know. He left that up to me. I did do a lot of stuff that he, little riffs and guitar chords. It was a learning process he started,
wow,
and it's
okay.
still learning today.
Yeah. And where did you grow up then?
In Cambridge. Cambridge Preston. Got in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
The only thing that kept me sane was, I think, was the music part of it. My brother was a drummer. Out of three of us, there was two of us that were in the music. Gary was the guy later on that was the sound guy that helped us. But between that and the family, all the family, we got to play until it was bedtime.
Yeah.
And then we ended up
going
to bed. But.
And then you had cousins and everybody that played music too?
Davey Lonsbury, my cousin, which is Dave's boy, and my Aunt Alice played drums. We could not get through a week without having a jam.
Wow,
and
okay.
That was the band, actually got named the Barnyard Stompers, that we all played in.
Yep.
And it got popular enough that when I was probably, I still remember this, I was wearing white cowboy hat with a dark suit coat. Al Ryder was the Speaker of the House in Toronto. And with my dad, played with a guy named Bud Etherington. And like the band was going quite a bit. And Al used to come up and to the jams.
Yep.
And he played his little uke and played with us. And he actually loved it so much. He got this band booked to play in Toronto at the house, Speaker of the House he was,
yep.
but Collins, and I had to take the day off school, and I did stuff like tell him I couldn't focus on my schoolwork because I had to remember the chords and do stuff like that.
Okay.
But it was neat.
That's neat.
It was something I'll never forget.
Yep.
Put it this way.
The Barnyard Stompers, you said.
The Barnyard Stompers.
We'd like you to welcome from Preston, Cambridge, a couple of young fellas, George and Dale Lonsbury. Let's make them welcome tonight. George, you're going to do the talking here tonight?
Sure.
Is that your brother or cousin over there in the drums?
Brother.
Your brother, and you're going to do a little picking, are you?
Yep, Chet Atkins style.
Chet Atkins style. Is he your favorite guitarist?
As far as I'm concerned, he's the world's best.
Well, he's pretty doggone good. George, what are you going to pick tonight?
That's a Freight Train and Back the Old Smoky Mountains.
Okay, here's a couple of tunes from George and Dale Lonsbury, and these boys are contestants number 5 tonight.
Thank you.
Barry. George doing the picking and Dale on drums. We hope you enjoyed George and Dale tonight. And
Welcome back. It's Steve Todd. And you're listening to Musicians FAQ on 102.7 CKMS. Let's continue our talk with George Lounsbury and learn about the early days with George playing music with his brother Dale.
When I was doing this, I first started out, and that's where I learned to get the bass or play bass as well as the guitar, because okay. We had guitar players coming out, or Davey was one, Dad was one,
yeah.
I was one, but I needed to do the background with Dale, and that's where I got, I still have that bass guitar to this day that he bought for me.
Oh, really?
And it ends up that I learned from a young age, I'm guessing 11 or 12 years old, I was playing bass and guitar, but the bass, I enjoyed backing people up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was the structure of the song, and I wasn't the only bass player there, but sometimes there wasn't enough to go around, so one way or the other, we made music.
That's great. No, it's good too, if you're playing with your brother and he's on drums, you guys form a little tight little rhythm section too.
It actually, this is ironic, because my Aunt Alice was a drummer as well as my brother, and my brother Dale used to sit there with the hi-hat and the bass pedal and be going, and he's playing bass as well, and I'd be playing the guitar. We were like a duo,
yeah.
Only we're really three-piece, okay. But it was different.
That's great.
I've seen a few people do that since, but yeah. I don't know whether we were the first ones, but we're pretty close to it. But,
wow. Yeah. Okay. Now, I know just from talking to Diane Dittner and interviewing her, that you guys were on with Buddy Hoppe on one of the talent contests, you and your brother, right?
That was a past recording, I do believe, but I do have that recording as well. And we actually went out to New Hamburg. I was like 16 years old.
Yeah.
And first time I'd ever met Hoppe. Diane, great band. And we just, like I say, we got to run a little rehearsal, I guess, you know, and set the amp up and stuff. But it was just like, click the button and you're on.
Yeah.
Hoppe, well, let you know. But
well, I've heard it. It's really cool. It's like, it's the Chet Atkins.
Yep. I can honestly say that I got to do a lot of Chet Atkins stuff. I wish I did nowadays, but I'm still holding on to it. Not saying I'm anywhere as free moving as I used to be, but hey, it's fun.
Good. Good for you. So, what do you want to expand into the next bands and stuff? Like, so maybe after your high school days?
I do believe that the first band I can remember, and this is around my 18 and 19 range, I was playing with Country Fever. Doug McNeil was one of them. Ken Maggiore, which I still see today. Ended up, I played with them for quite a while. But
Country Fever.
Yes, that was back when Paul Weber was playing the bar circuit. Was playing, trying to think of the fiddle player, some of the bands, Yuma. There was all kinds of them, but we all played the circuit. Leisure Lodge was long gone by that time.
I remember, I think, Paul playing even Tommy's
Carl place. Keys, that's
Carl Keys, okay. Yes. Yeah. But I think I remember Paul playing even Tommy's place in Downtown Kitchener.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was another one. But it ended up that the City of Talon Waterloo, there was not really in the range. We went as far as London, the other side of Guelph, Aberfoyle.
Yep.
I actually got to play in that band. We played for Carol Baker.
Really? Well,
That was quite a story that night down in Aberfoyle.
So you played, like, you were in her backup band, or you just...
No. She was there. This is what blew me away. We were playing for a dance down there, and Carol was in the audience.
Oh, wow.
And first time I ever met Carol. I ended up playing for quite a few years later with Dougie and all the boys.
Yeah.
We went to Ottawa and played a show.
Yeah, I think Doug mentioned that as well.
Yes.
So did Carol come up and do a song or something when you were at this dance?
I do believe, you know, I wish I had a better memory, but I do believe she got up and did a number or two.
Okay.
And I'm just thinking, like, starstruck. Here I am in my either 19 or 20 by then, but I could tell you a few more stories about that night, but we better keep clean here. But
no, that's amazing, though. Good for you.
Hey, you had to love it to do it.
Hey, I put George to work, and he dug up a bunch of old cassette tapes and other recordings containing music from Country Fever, Murphy's Law, Gospel Sundays at the Barn Dance, and live recordings with Larry Mercy. So here's a recording with Country Fever, and you can sure pick out George Lonsberry's quick picking on this one.
I'm with me, boys, I'm with me, what are you gonna do for now? I'm 29 feet to go, and what are you gonna do? Oh, the devil's on me, it's all just on me. It's a little bit more, 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 it's a little
bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little
bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more,
it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit
more, it's a
little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit
more, it's a little bit more, it's a
little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's
a little bit more, it's
a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a
little bit more,
it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit more, it Roger Beers was the bass player, and he was working for ATS, and he had come over to my place, and when we were trying to put a band together, were Eric.
Oh, Eric Chaplin.
Remember Eric was talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. We actually put a band together, and I wish it had went farther, but I do think that there was rumblings in the water between the bass player and the drummer, to say it. But that's why that never really seemed to last. But by no means did Eric, he put more than 150% in that voice that he's got. And I wish I would have had a little more time to work with him, but hey.
Hmm. Yeah. What, the one thing about Murphy's Law is I was in a band called Luck of the Draw.
Yes.
So we actually played the same thing. I think it was like Greenwood.
Yes,
Greenwood,
it was. Rotten Gun. It was. That was, and I do believe that Woody there played with Jamie Warren.
Yeah, Jamie Warren was there.
I still have the flyer on the wall.
Yeah. I don't even know if Beverly LaHood, there was some big names
Beverly
there.
Was there,
or Lace. I don't know if it was the whole Lace band or Giselle Broman, but there was a lot of people there.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
That was a great time. I remember that. I can still remember vividly because I remember Jason Berry, he come in at the last moment before he's ready to go.
Okay.
And he's changing his guitar strings out in the, trying to stay out of the sun.
Yeah.
But it was great. It was a great time. I know that country music, but I don't know if you can really say this for everybody, but country music between the 90s and 2000, I was just listening to stuff the other day, and Joe Diffie and all
that. Oh, that's all the best stuff. Yeah. Well, that's when, like, in 1990, like, everybody, like, Alan Jackson.
Yes, yes.
Like, both, like, Brooks and Dunn.
Right.
Garth Brooks. And all those bands came out at the same time. Toby Keith.
Yeah.
All within probably a five-year span, all these great bands.
It seemed to be coming out of the wood, and it was like a revival. Well, I know that they're all looking for something new, but once again, Paul Weber, we were two ships passing in the night all the time, and yet I can still remember one night we were playing out at the hotel there, and it just happened to be that he started doing some of these tunes that we used to do at that time frame.
Yeah.
It came off without a hitch. Like, I was dumbfounded, but it's because we were both so fluent with it. We played it, you know what I mean, time and time again. But hey, you gotta love that.
Oh, for sure.
I got my first truck when I was 100,000 miles on my knee. All the marbles and rocks I thought twice before. All the Barbie doll bed for the girl next door. Time to pay me with a kiss, and I begin to understand that some of the women like about a pickup man. When I turned 16, I saved a few hundred bucks, and my first car was a pickup truck. I was cruising the town, and the first girl I see was Bobby Joe Ginger, the homecoming queen. She banged me down and climbed up in the cab and said, I never knew you were a pickup man. You can set my truck on fire, I'm rolling down a hill, and I still wouldn't trade for a cookie bill. Got an input bag that never has to be made. You know, if it weren't for drugs, it wouldn't have tailgate. Met all my wives. Traffic jam, there's just some the women like about a pickup man. Most Friday nights, I can be found in the bed of my truck on an OJ slab. Left in my spot at the driving show. You know, a cargo line gives off a romantic glow. Then we have to wait in line at the popcorn stand, cause there's something women like about a pickup man. You can set my truck on fire, rolling down a hill, and I still wouldn't trade it for a coupe bell. Got an 8-foot band, and every house to be made. You know, if it weren't for truck, they wouldn't have tailgate. And all my wives, the traffic jam, there's just something women like about a pickup man. Stand on this. truck on fire, rolling down a hill, and I still wouldn't trade it for a Coupe de Ville. Now the neighborhood band, it never has to be made. You know, if it weren't for drugs, it wouldn't have tailgate. Had all my wife, the kind of big damage is something women like about a bigger man. About a pick of mine.
Murphy's Law, we played every weekend. We were playing the Corral.
Really?
We were playing the ranch over in Guelph, and for 3 years straight. And I can honestly say that there was a chemistry you don't get all the time. We seemed to know where it was going, but we stayed up on every practice. There was two songs. You were responsible for coming in with two songs. We were really diligent doing that. And it ended up that we, an afternoon over at the Corral, just to try out for it. And it ended up that we were in, and we were one of the bands that, like, every 6 weeks we were in.
Yeah,
there.
That's great.
And it was the best of times, like I say, because it was the music we were playing. It's what they wanted to hear. We went every weekend for 3 years, and it was a killer.
Well, plus, if you're working...
We were working, like...
During the day, too.
I don't know about the other guys, but I was working anywhere from 50 to 60-hour weeks. I would have to go home, and then they had longer. You started at 9:30, 10 o'clock, and it went to, what, 1:30, 2 o'clock. We first started out in there. It was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and an afternoon
matinee. Yeah, for sure.
So... We were young at the time, and it's a good thing, because if I had to try and do it, it wouldn't happen.
Yeah, I couldn't physically do it now at all.
We did all our own own sound equipment and everything.
Yeah.
And Wednesday night was basically go in and set your equipment up. And it had to be good equipment to put up. Hotels wanted volume.
Yeah.
They wanted, you couldn't hear yourself think. The bottom line is, then you had a big light bar you had to get up, and you needed a great big tall ladder.
Stuff back then was heavy too. Like now everything's like those little Bose light system, and everything doesn't weigh anything.
That's one thing that back then I can still remember the power rack with all the amps and stuff in it. It took two guys plus a third one trying to help lift the thing onto the cue van. And nowadays I'd be laying on the ground. Andrew over at the ranch, he wanted to book us for the next year. I could just see it. We were in there talking to him on a Sunday, and it ended up that we left there, and we were going to do it, but then we went back, and we just seemed to be that we wanted a break. Around the time, like I say, we were doing the Corral and the ranch and stuff with Murphy's Law, and Annie, she sang terrific, Terry Clark and everything. And this is what we needed, was a female singer in the band at the time. So we went five-piece for a little while.
Really? Okay.
And best vocals that I've ever heard, like I say, with those voice ranges and harmonies. But it ended up that that all went, folded it up there after the 3 years, but I was sorry to see it go, but I figured down the road somewhere we'll get together. We have done some stuff since then, but not as a five piece, but you win some, you lose some.
Yeah. Did you have kids at this point too?
Oh yeah.
So that's really tough on family too.
I can't complain, because my wife is probably the one that kept me going. I know that there was a harmony between work. There's a harmony between playing music. And there's a harmony, like I say, just trying to keep everything in line with the music. I don't know how he did it, but I know that my wife was the biggest part of it.
Yeah.
Holding on to things at home.
Yeah, for sure.
But
good for you.
I never seen probably the first 20 years of our marriage.
Yeah.
I never seen much in the way of a pillow. I used to, somewhere around the end there, I was playing three bands plus a job, you know, too many hours work.
Yeah.
But I can still remember playing in Legion in Stratford with Randy and Dougie and Al and the Grant. And I was sicker than a dog.
Yeah.
And yet I was sitting there, I'm thinking, what am I doing? Is my health not worth anything? But I love playing music that much.
Yep.
And it ended up that a short time later, that's when I got ill and I had to bow out of the barn dance because this was a virus from that attacked my brain.
Wow.
And I was done.
Yep.
Hey, what can I say? It was nothing that short of me getting reminded that your health is a little more important.
Yeah, I know. I know exactly what you're saying.
If you see your brother standing by the road with a heavy load from the seeds he sowed, and if you see your sister falling by the way, just stop and say, you're going the wrong way. You've got to try a little kindness, show a little kindness, shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, then you'll overlook the blindness of narrow-minded people on a narrow-minded street. Don't walk around the down and out, lend a helping hand instead of doubt. Then the kindness that you show every day will help someone along their way. You've got to try a little kindness, show a little kindness, shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, then you'll overlook the blindness of narrow-minded people on a narrow-minded street. You've got to try a little kindness, show a little kindness, shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, then you'll overlook the blindness of narrow-minded people on a narrow-minded street.
That was Try a Little Kindness, another cut off the 2006 album It's Not Over Yet, recorded by the Larry Mercy Trio. In part two of the interview with George Lounsbery, you'll hear more about George playing with Larry Mercy. Let's return to our interview, where George gets into playing with the Millennium Cowboys for the Barn Dance.
But you sort of just mentioned the Barn Dance.
Yeah.
Maybe tell me about that, how you ended up connected with that.
It ended up that my dad knew a lot of the guys that Larry Mercy, of course, all that, they used to come down to the practice hall and they would come in on a certain night and they were practicing and I was looking after all the sound.
Okay.
Well, this went on for quite a while and Dougie Dietrich, I hooked up with him as far as the music and it was Dougie's doing with the barn dance.
Yeah.
But it ended up, there was a spot there and he asked me if I would like to be a part of it, and I was dumbfounded. I thought, why not? Because we had ended with Murphy's Law, took a break, and it ended up that it took, like I say, a little while for me getting used to it. But once I got in there, I was having really a time of my life, and I was pretty. Me and Dougie would work on things. It was just like working with Randy's band because it was the same guys. And we worked on harmonies for songs like that. And that's where it started to shine, at least for me, because there wasn't a lot of guys I knew that I could work with. My cousin, I played with Davey all the time, but we never really took the time to polish it.
Yeah,
that is just it.
Yeah.
To put the polish on it, and that's, a lot of people won't notice it, but there's always musicians sitting out in the audience that know, know
what it is. Well, that's what happens, because I've sat in with a lot of bands.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I just don't get that, because I don't know. I'll miss stuff because everything's going so fast.
That you just, that's just it. That's like out at Paul's, you know, playing out at the Thursday night's open mic night.
Yeah.
It's once now, and it could not be any more down the line. You only get to play it once. The barn dance was that way, but you got the practice time in between, and you worked on it before you got there.
Yeah. Plus, you guys are a unit too, so you're going to be so tight with your bass player and Doug and the drummer and everything too. So,
but you know, those days, Grant's father Earl, Huey Elder, they were all great people to be around, and those people, while older than I was, they were the founders that made the barn dance, I think, what it was. Ernie King was another one.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Sloanwaite, Victor Pascalowski, I think it was. I'm not sure how to pronounce that last name. But I got to play with those two guys, and they played fiddle. The harmonies coming out of them guys. Dougie McNaughton was another one.
Okay.
Ian Leith, I do believe the, I'm trying to think of the other one. He slipped from my mind here, but there was lots of fiddle players. But
I think even Al Cherney and stuff like that was made an appearance.
That was before my time.
Okay.
But it ended up that they just did stuff, you know what I mean? They put 150% into what they're doing, and really, as time went on, the only problem is we're all getting older, and there's going to be a time we got to give it up.
Well, even what Doug Dietrich was saying, it was the crowd's getting to the point where they think they had to even change the program a little bit because people just didn't want to drive at night.
And
they like the afternoon, I think, better than the evening.
Yes.
They didn't care about the dance as much.
I believe that this is the problem. I'm an old school guy that doesn't like change, but at the same time, you have to change to stay up. If not the way the world's turning, it's the people that are love and listen to your music.
Yeah.
There's people that can't get around, right? They're not mobile enough. This is where their camp out used to become quite the thing up there. People used to come in motorhomes and everything. I still remember that to this day, but it was always great. They were always really receptive to the music you were playing, and that's what makes you want to play when you're giving them something, all the work you put into it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, welcome back to the Barn Dance. They broke the front of the news back at the radio station. And we're back with more, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, so we have a brand new band behind us. They are the Millennium Cowboys, including Kirk Munford over there on guitar. Now that slider's Doug Petrie. Well, ladies and gentlemen, one thing that we've learned about country music is that it runs in the family. And actually, if you're here this weekend at the camp out and you're witnessing things, you realize a whole lot that it feels like one big family. And in fact, sometimes I think the whole country music audience is just one big family. Well, we've got a couple of guys here, a father and son team. The music really does run in the family. Leonard has been part of the country music scene in southwestern Ontario for a long time, lead singer with a popular dance band called Country Justice. So you know that he's always going to do justice to every song, unless he does a U-turn, which is the band that he's a part of now. His son Josh plays bass guitar, and he's right here with him in his father's band, and he sings some harmony with his dad as well. And ladies and gentlemen, they're going to recall one of the great country artists of all time, who was remembered just recently on the Country Music Awards show, Buck Owens, and I Don't Care. Ladies and gentlemen, Leonard and Josh Forte.
Hi, I'm Doug Dietrich from Waterloo, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS, RadioWaterloo.ca.
Dougie, my hat's off to him that he, all them years, that he was the guy that was handing out the CDs or the tapes to practice, you know what I mean? And he'd call practice, be there, we go in and do our practicing.
Yeah. Well, I think he was also on manning the phones, trying to line
yes.
up people.
And oh, yeah.
Everything, too. So
yes.
there's a lot of stuff that happens.
Yeah.
Like, you really don't realize all the work that it takes to put, put on a big show, right?
Hey, that's just it. A lot of people come to see the show. They have no idea what goes on behind
yeah.
the scenes. But Dougie has done more than... I don't think two men could do what he's doing
yeah.
or has done. Okay. I had nothing but great times playing with them guys.
That's great. Well, hopefully it can still, once COVID's over, they could still
have it
in some format.
Yes. Anyway. I can only hope that, I'll keep telling Sue Weber, one of these days we're going to get to play the Jimmy Fortune song that it's one of the hymns. She loves to sing it. And one of these days I say
yeah.
we will go live. Just don't know exactly yeah. when it's going to be.
Did he just pass away like a couple of months ago?
Jimmy Fair?
Jimmy Fair, that's
yes.
who passed away.
Yes, Jimmy.
Really recently.
Oh, he was a great picker.
Yeah.
Bluegrass with Larry down at in Elderton.
Yeah.
He used to, or he still has these jams where the, you know, a lot of the older people would come in.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Fair was at, I would say, I don't think it was the last one. Could have been the second last one. And God, he was still picking and singing. Like,
yeah.
He West Virginia, I do believe, is one of the places that they did the big jam
yeah.
down there. And
I think
he
so.
Was always there. But
yeah. Wow.
My hat's off to guys like that.
Yeah.
They're the ones that paved the way for us. But
yeah.
You got to carry on. Dude.
Yeah, for sure.
That's my biggest concern with music nowadays is, yeah, the older people are dying off to listen to it, but I still don't think it's a reason why we need to stop playing. Not like the radio stations will, you know, try and stay up with the top 10 or whatever. Well, there's always that B side that I want to hear.
That's true. That's but, a good,
Let's take a break from our interview with George Lonsberry and listen to an instrumental recorded by pedal steel guitar player Doug Dietrich. As George mentioned, Doug has put in countless hours to help keep the barn dance going year after year. Doug was previously featured on Musicians FAQ, and you can find these past archived episodes on the CKMS website. Here's Doug Dietrich with Faded Love and Maiden's Prayer.
One thing I like about you too is your tone. I've even taken a photograph with my phone.
Oh yeah, okay.
Of your sound, because what you can do with your Telecaster.
Well, you know, there's a lot of machinery out there, like guitar pedals, new electronics. I'm still the old Boss pedals guy.
It's amazing.
And I do believe that I love to be able to turn the thing on the fly. I don't have to sit, run banks and everything. But it ended up that. Mike Telly, and I've had this for many years, the B-Bender. It's got noiseless pickups in it, but they're original, same as what come out of it. I don't know what it is, but for years I searched for that sound. That Telly just fell into place.
Oh, it sounds great.
And I'm still like a PV amplifier. A lot of guys don't think they're worth anything, but I play with nothing but...
Yeah, just a little Bandit or something like that, is it?
Bandit 65.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I'm using the 50. I get such a great sound out of it.
Yeah. And so you're just pretty much using a Boss delay, and you had one other, maybe a chorus or something, right?
I have a chorus pedal in there, but I got the compressor and the delay. The delay pedal is usually one of the only things I ever use. Delay, sometimes compression pedal, but not very often. I can get along all night with a delay
pedal. Oh, it sounds great. Yeah, like I said, I took a picture because I was so impressed with how your guitar sounded.
Every once in a while, I got to take it all apart and clean it.
Okay.
There could be a short, something not working, but it's not too often. Yeah. It's just regular maintenance as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
So how long did it take you to get used to the B-bender then? Because that, to me, that would be a kind of a tricky thing to...
You know, I'm still, to this day, there's still finding things that are to learn on there.
Yeah.
One of my all-time idols is Marty Stewart.
Yep.
He's playing one of the first B-benders to ever come out.
Okay.
The gentleman had passed away that actually built it, and I do believe his wife actually ended up selling the guitar to Marty Stewart. But he still has that guitar and still plays it.
Yep.
To me, there's a lot of guys that use them, but Marty's got the country flair on a B-bender.
Okay. Do you ever get mixed up and move you bend your finger and you pull it at the same time? And
not too often. I'm not saying I couldn't, but you know something? I almost put it down once. I was watching Steve Patico.
Oh, okay.
And I'm thinking, he's got to be, this guy stretches everything without a B-bender. Some guys can seem to have a lot of motoring skills in their fingers to do double stretches and stuff like that, but there's places for it. Then when I meet up with Dougie Dietrich, don't need it.
No,
he steals there.
Yeah, so you just keep it. So what year is that guitar then?
Actually, I could check the serial number and find out for sure.
Yeah.
But I know that I bought it off his brother when we were still playing. So I'm guessing it's got to be 83, 84.
Really?
Okay.
That's amazing.
It's it's just like brand new.
Yeah, for sure.
I've addressed the frets on it. Maybe twice.
Okay.
Other than putting the noiseless pickups in it, because with the barn dance, we played up in Wingham at the theater, could not play in the place, because every time you would plug in with the wiring up there, it would get a hum. And I had a Strat with the lace pickups in it, still have it. It ends up that was the only guitar that I'd go in the place and manage to play without having a hum. So
I know sometimes you have to just turn a bit to get rid of the hum. That's funny.
I can still remember the old Woodstock Inn down there.
Yeah.
I did, and ended up, I've been playing, and that was Murphy's Law. I ended up playing the whole night facing the drummer because I couldn't stand straight looking at the audience. It would hum like crazy.
Yeah. But.
Well, we've reached the end of part one of the Musician's FAQ feature with George Lonsberry. Please stay tuned in the coming weeks for part two, where George talks more about playing with Larry Mercy, being a part of the Commercial Tavern's Thursday night open stage in Maryhill, and other music topics that round out George Lonsberry's musical career. To hear other Musicians FAQ episodes with your favorite musicians, just navigate to radiowaterloo.ca, click on the Categories drop-down, and select Musicians FAQ. Earlier in the program, we heard a recording by one of George Lonsberry's former bands, Murphy's Law, playing the Joe Diffie classic Pickup Man. I think we're going to end off with a little bit more from Murphy's Law. Here they are doing two David Ball songs, Look What Followed Me Home and Thinking Problem. Till next time, it's Steve Todd, and I want to thank you for listening to Musicians FAQ on 102.7 CKMS, radiowaterloo.ca.
To die.
this I admit I've got a thinking problem. She's always on my mind. Her memory goes round and round. I tried to quit a thousand times. Yes, I admit I got a thinking problem. I fill my glass up to the top. I'll start with loving her, but I don't know when to stop. I wake up and right away, her name is on my list. Once the memory starts to flow, I can't stop with just one sip. Yes, I admit I got a thinking problem. She's always on my mind. Her memory goes round and round. I tried to quit a thousand times. Yes, I admit I got a thinking problem. Fill my glass up to the top. I'll start with loving her. I'll start with loving her.